Item number seven, the Lauren Miller residence.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. Item seven is proposed monument nomination for the Lauren Miller residence located at 647 North Mitchell Tarina in Silver Lake. The staff recommendation is that the commission take the property under consideration and adopt the staff report findings. And Teresa Grimes is here to present the nomination.
Thank you, Lambert. Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Teresa Grimes. Am I authorized to share screen? I think I am. Let's see, share.
Commissioner Minofsky, how much time should I put on the clock?
Teresa, how much time do you need? 10 minutes, I assume?
I have a reputation for my brevity, but in this case, I think I'd really like to have the 10 minutes. I don't think I'll need it, but I'd appreciate not having to rush.
All right. Let's give it 10 minutes, Diego.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Can you confirm that you can see my screen?
Yes. Perfect.
Let me try.
You might want to go to the full screen.
I will. Let's see if it works. No. There we go.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. I'm pleased to be presenting the monument nomination for the Lauren Miller residence. The property is located in Silver Lake on the west side of Mitchell Tarina Street, northwest of Silver Lake Boulevard. The Miller residence is eligible for designation as a monument under Criterion 2 of the Cultural Heritage Ordinance. It's significant within the context of African American history for its association with Miller, a leading journalist, attorney, and political activist in the civil rights movement. The property retains all aspects of integrity from the period of significance 1940 to 1967, which corresponds with the period Miller lived here. Miller was born on January 20th, 1903 in Pender, Nebraska. He was the second of seven children born to John Bird Miller, who was formerly enslaved, and Nora Magdalena Herbo, who was a white woman. In 1913, the family moved to Kansas, where Miller spent the early part of his life. His parents instilled in him the importance of good education, but paying his own way meant sometimes taking time off to save money and changing schools. Although he studied journalism at Howard University, he moved back to Kansas and graduated from the Washburn College of Law in 1928. He was admitted to the Kansas Bar in 1929 and was quickly selected as a member of the National Board of the NAACP. After the death of his father in 1920, Miller's mother and siblings graduated from Kansas to California. By 1930, Miller joined the rest of his family in Los Angeles in a bungalow they all shared near the Central Avenue corridor. He even convinced his cousin, Leon Washington, to move to Los Angeles, where they both obtained jobs writing for the California Eagle. In 1932, Miller traveled to the Soviet Union with his friend, the poet Langston Hughes, and 20 other African-American intellectuals pictured here. And I circled Langston Hughes and Miller were standing next to each other. They happen to be the only two people who were identified in this photograph in the caption, which indicates how important they were. After the trip, he continued to work mainly as a journalist and traveled back and forth between LA and New York. In LA, he wrote for the Los Angeles Sentinel, which was founded by his cousin Washington in 1933. In New York, he wrote for New Masses, which was a magazine closely associated with the Communist Party. In 1933, Miller married Juanita Ellsworth, a graduate of the USC School of Social Work and a caseworker for the Los Angeles Bureau of Welfare. They had their first child, Lauren Miller Jr., in 1937. Despite their combined income, the financial pressure of supporting a family prompted Miller to move away from being a full-time writer and reestablish his legal practice. He began accepting clients in the mid-1930s and gradually grew his practice, mostly working on divorce and probate cases. Occasionally, he represented clients in racial discrimination cases. His first high-profile case concerned a man named George Farley, who killed two officers that were attempting to evict him from his home. Miller's mother, by the way, lived only a couple blocks away from Farley, so it's possible that they might have known each other. Although Farley had paid off his mortgage in 1929, the property was auctioned without his knowledge in 1938 to pay an outstanding street assessment of $29.66. Farley was ultimately convicted of manslaughter, which was considered a triumph because he was facing the death penalty. After the work on the Farley, after his work on the Farley case, Miller's practice changed. He began advocating for civil rights and became a leading authority on restrictive covenants. Not long after the Farley case, Lauren and Juanita commissioned their friend, James Garrett, to design his house for them in Silver Lake. City directories indicate that the Millers had previously been renting an apartment on East 45th Street. Garrett was the second Black architect to be admitted to the AIA, the first, of course, being Paul R. Williams. The Miller residence was completed in 1940, around the time Garrett was forming a partnership with the architect Gregory Ain. It was also the same year Garrett designed a residence for his own family next door at 653 in Micheltorena Street. You're probably wondering why I didn't nominate both of these properties at the same time. It certainly, I knew that they lived next door to each other, but it really wasn't until I was actually standing in front of these two houses that made me realize that it would have been much more efficient to do them simultaneously. But rest assured that the Garrett house, as well as the office Garrett shared with Ain on Hyperion, are both on my list of properties to nominate. Miller's legal work after World War II is just far too illustrious for me to discuss in this setting, so I'm just going to provide a few highlights. He was appointed to the NAACP's National Legal Committee in 1945, and from this committee, Miller shaped the organization's legal strategy for challenging restrictive covenants. By 1947, Miller had represented more than 100 plaintiffs seeking to invalidate covenants that prevented Blacks from purchasing or renting property in certain areas. Miller's most celebrated case was Shelley versus Kramer in 1948. To hear the case, the U.S. Supreme Court combined Shelley with three other cases that included Sipes versus McGee. Miller actually argued the Sipes case, which involved a Black couple who had purchased a home in Detroit in violation of local covenant. The court ruled in Shelley, and it's conveniently called Shelley, the covenants on properties could not be enforced because they denied Blacks equal protection under the law. In other words, the covenants were a violation of the 14th Amendment. Up to this point in time, most of these cases had been argued under contract law, and it was really Miller who changed the approach to a constitutional argument. Despite Shelley, the victory of Shelley, however, homeowners associations then started to sue whites who sold the Blacks for breach of contract. In 1953, Miller successfully argued the Burroughs versus Jackson case before the U.S. Supreme Court. This case, by the way, involved a property in Pasadena, where I live. They ruled the courts could not enforce the suit for breach of contract any more than they could enforce the covenant. So with Burroughs, once and for all, the covenants were no longer a mechanism for housing discrimination. Miller also played a very important role in Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka as the author of most of the briefs for the NAACP. This case was particularly meaningful to Miller because he went to law school in Topeka. Although Miller's primary civil rights concerns were discrimination in housing and education, he also worked on a lot of other cases involving police brutality and employment. In addition to working closely with the NAACP, he also worked very closely with the ACLU. And finally, he also worked on behalf of Mexican Americans and Japanese Americans, not just African Americans. His concerns was civil rights for all Americans. In his later years, Miller continued to run his law office and became the publisher of the California Eagle. In 1964, he was appointed to the municipal court bench by Governor Pat Brown, which unfortunately meant he had to sell the California Eagle. However, Miller continued to write during his service as a municipal court judge. He authored the book, The Petitioners, The Story of the Supreme Court of the United States and the Negro. Miller passed away on July 14, 1967. Miller is significant as one of the most prominent journalists, attorneys, and activists of the civil rights movement in the United States. He argued two landmark civil rights cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, Shelley versus Kramer and Burroughs versus Jackson. He also played an important role in Brown versus the Board of Education. The Miller residence is the property most closely associated with his life's work. Miller lived at 647 Micheltorena Street from 1940 until his death in 1967, which corresponds with the period he became a national figure in the civil rights movement. That concludes my presentation. I encourage you to approve the staff report and take the nomination under consideration.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for the your brevity, conciseness, and your legal education. Commissioners, have any questions for Teresa? Okay, Lambert is the owner represented today?
I don't believe so. They've not reached out to me, so I don't know.
Okay, well, let's see if we have any. If there are no questions, let's open public comment.
Could I offer just that when I submitted the nomination to the city, I sent a copy of the nominations to the property owner and attempted to reach out to them, and I did not receive a reply.
Okay, well, let's see if they call in as a member of the public. Let's open public comment on item number 7, the Lauren Miller residence. Diego?
Yes, Diego Vasquez, City Planning for item number 7, simple instructions for public comment. If you dialed in telephonically and would like to give public comment, please press star 9 and star 6 to unmute. We have a few callers. Clara Solis, you have been unmuted. Please unmute. You have 1 minute.
Yes, I encourage you to designate this property, which is important. The owner of the property obviously was an important figure in our community and is important to the civil rights movement. And I hope you will designate this property. I believe his son was also a Superior Court judge. Thank you so much for considering this designation, and I really hope you will approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller. Next caller, Carol Citroni. You have been unmuted. Please unmute. You have 1 minute.
Hi. Yes. This is Carol Citroni with the Silver Lake Heritage Trust, and the Trust offers our full support to this nomination. We were very grateful to Teresa for reaching out to us for support. We had never heard of Lauren Miller, and so I just wanted to thank her for the nomination and for pointing us to this direction of educating ourselves about this wonderful and powerful human rights activist and Silver Lake iconoclast. And we are in full support of the nomination. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comment. Commissioner Miloski, we do not have any more hands raised for this item.
Okay, I see one more hand.
We have one more. Adrian Scott Fine, you have been unmuted. Please unmute.
You're breaking up.
Can you not hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Hopefully you can hear me. Hi. Again, Adrian Scott Fine with the LA Conservancy. We're in full support. Thank you, Teresa, for bringing this nomination forward. His story brought to light, as has already been said, it's important to recognize him, his contributions, and this property to help tell his story. So thank you.
Commissioner Miloski, we do not have any more hands raised for this item.
Okay, let's close public comment on the Lauren Miller residence. I'd like to, again, thank Teresa for bringing this to our attention. I think this is a really good example of a property where the architecture isn't the governing factor. I don't think anyone of us would say that this is architecturally a significant building, but you know, the personage, you know, the history that happened there and its importance of that history in the city of Los Angeles and in the country and the civil rights movement, I think needs to be recognized, commemorated, and memorialized. So I'm definitely in support of this nomination. Commissioners?
I have a question. Teresa, how did you come across this?
Well, I'm surprised that not everyone knows who Lauren Miller is. So I learned about Lauren Miller a long time ago when I was working on the multiple property documentation form for African Americans in Los Angeles. And I became fascinated with him. And I would like to note two things. One is that I was introduced to his granddaughter, who was also a judge. So I think that this is the only family with three generations of judges in Los Angeles. Her name is Judge Robin Miller Sloan, and I reached out to her and I received a very warm reply. And I also like to note that Emily Rinaldi actually prepared the nomination at my behest. We worked together on it, but it's hard for me to express what an important figure he was in, as one of the callers said, probably better described the human rights movement in the United States.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for bringing it to us.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Clark. I thank you again, Teresa, for this nomination. It's so, so important and so timely. I also like to point out that Garrett was able to design this building at a time when there was a lot of restrictive covenants. But Silver Lake, I'm sure if you look into the history, was one of the places where the covenants were not as enforced, or they might not have existed. So I think that's also an important part of the story.
Commissioner Kander, any
you
comment?
Can't.
Go on, Gail.
No, go ahead. I'm finished.
Yeah, I just think if Commissioner Kander has any comment.
Just a short comment. About 10 years ago, I attended a conference at Occidental on journalism, the history of journalism in Los Angeles. And there was a speaker who had just written a book on Lauren Miller, and I'm sure Teresa knows about that book. And so that was when he was first brought to my attention. But, you know, he sounds like the Thurgood Marshall of Los Angeles. I mean, that this property hasn't been nominated previously, you know, it's kind of a surprise. But, of course, I really, you know, very excited that Silver Lake has a property like this, and I think we should get behind it.
Yeah, I look forward to Teresa's upcoming nominations of the Garrett residence next door and the Ayne Garrett office on Hyperion, because I think Garrett's also an important figure in the architecture of Los Angeles. So, do I have a motion?
Commissioner Kennard, I move that we take the Lauren Miller residence under consideration and adopt the staff report findings.
I'll second Commissioner Kander.
Both.
Of course. Allison Owat for the record. Commissioner Kennard?
Yes.
Commissioner Kander?
Yes.
Commissioner Barron?
Yes.
And Commissioner Malofsky?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Moving on to item number 8.